you doing here, man?
15-0, 15 knockouts.
In Tijuana? Nah, bruh. That's a barroom brawling.
Yeah, well, I'm all in anyway. So I figured we start out local just to get our momentum going, then we can move wherever we want to move.
We?
Yeah, I was figuring you
meet. Giannis, these boys come in here, this how they survive. They gotta fight for life. Kill or be killed, people dying there. Your daddy died in the ring. This ain't no joke.
I don't know him.
What cloud?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure. Hello and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 596. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Oh, look, it's Mrs. Huxtable Dunaway.
Ooh, you're on it today. Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we come out of our respective corners swinging wildly at every streaming service imaginable for this 2015 boxing film that asks the question, who's your daddy? Oh, we know that part. It's in the title. Okay, in that case, who's your mama? She did. Backup mama? Theo's mom from The Cosby Show. All right. Well, I need to ask you to not make any of the love interest to have that Denise Huxtable vibe, or I'm going to be distracted the whole damn movie. Ah, crap. Now, who's your uncle? All right, let's get ready to mumble. Anywho, this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. Wait a minute. In Los Angeles, born and raised, boxing down in Mexico was where I spent most of my days. Hold on a second. I think I picked up someone else's show notes by accident. Let's see. Now, I got into 15 little fights, and my backup mom got silly. She said, reading Tina's voice, you're moving in with your girlfriend and unk in Philly. Okay. Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did now. Ibbit was going to do a reverse Fresh Prince, and I beat him to the punch. Boom, uppercut. I just want to thank my mom and Randy. Undo these gloves. My tum-tum hurts. I say, take them off. I got the stress poops. Get them off.
Oh, my gosh. You're killing me today. With us also, Randy, I think we watched the Wire reunion film, Jordan.
Oh. Aloha, Scott. Brian. Hold on. What's up, kid? Now, why did my entire restaurant staff allow you to stand around in the dark and meet with me? I guess I know I only have two people working here. The guy who pulls the kitchen supplies out of the van and the guy who takes the supplies from him, because walking them into the back door when you've already got an armful is too difficult. You know. I mean, I'm one of the most famous people to ever live in this universe. And I guess just anyone can meet me by coming to this little restaurant. But I make them talk to me in the dark, you know, and I always send them away without agreeing to their request. So you're no different. But before you go, I'll give you three pieces of advice beyond what I just said. Number one, to be great at something, you have to go practice something completely unrelated. Mm. So if you could catch a chicken, for instance, you can be one of the greatest boxers in the world. And once you catch that one, please hand it to Louis here and he'll carry it into the restaurant. Number two, never find out whether or not a person who's going through chemotherapy for a fatal disease is getting better or worse. That might seem like the only important thing to find out, but you ignore it once it's established that they're getting treatment. You just ignore it. Yeah. Number three.
Don't need to see it.
Number three. I don't know what you meant when you said John, and I don't know why you said it and then defined it only to never use the word again for the rest of our time together.
Mm. Wow. You really pulled out your Stallone there. I couldn't think of his name.
No.
I was going to say Schwarzenegger. Well done. We finally have Brian. A whole lot of MCU in this week's movie, Ibbit.
Oh, so much. Yes. Coming in summer 2024, the next film in the Rocky franchise. You've seen Rocky's comeback in Rocky Balboa. You've seen Apollo Creed's son Adonis in Creed 2, and this summer's Creed 3. And with Adrian dead and Polly dead, there weren't a whole lot of options. But in 2024, from director Brad Bird, comes the story of a little robot with a lot of heart. It's Polly's Robot Jr.
Hi, Rocky. Remember me?
Yes, we'll see Polly's Robot Jr. as he discovers that he can do so much more than his father? Mother? No more, happy birthday, Polly. This robot can not only catch all the chickens, he can pluck them, chop them into nuggets, and deep fry them. And in the ring, he's super helpful.
Oh, your eyes swollen shut. Let me pry that open for you.
Yes, it's a movie that even Nicole Kidman can't spoil in her AMC pre-movie ads. Polly's Robot Jr., coming to theaters in 2024. Wow. And coming in 2026, the saga continues with the granddaughter of Rocky's original trainer, Mickey, played by Burgess Meredith. Meet Mikina, played by Natasha Lyonne.
Nice. Hey, Creed, I don't know much about this whole boxing thing, but try and punch him in the cockroach.
Awesome.
That's a good call on that. That's a good pick.
There's very little to make fun of in a really good movie.
It was a good movie.
You got to go outside the box. Yeah, you got to stretch.
I was really hoping you would do a reverse
Fresh Prince.
I took a swing. I missed.
Up until yesterday, the song parody I was working with was going to be all about my mixed feelings, but my confidence in my own sexuality. And it was going to be a play on the Beatles song Let It Be called Michael B.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I couldn't have predicted that. Good job.
That's pretty good.
The problem with Michael B. Jordan is that he makes his face all the time when he's trying to look like, hey, what's up, girl? He makes his face.
Yeah, he does.
And this is an audio format podcast, and unless you've seen this movie recently, you just have no idea.
I encourage you to take a selfie of that face, Randy, and we'll share it with the patrons.
There you go. Do it. Let's put it in the post. I'll put it in the post. Hell yeah. Why not? Yeah, we put Brian's lyrics in there. Why not?
Cool.
Put your face in there. Real quick here. Well, let's totally real, absolutely not fake Scott Fletcher read today's description of the movie Creed.
The former world heavyweight champion Rocky Balboa serves as a trainer and mentor to Adonis Johnson, the son of his late friend and former rival Apollo Creed.
He's so downtrodden.
Scott Fletcher before a 5-hour energy drink.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't hear from him this week, so I figured we got to stand in when needed. You know, we got a little fakery there if we need it.
Reprogram that with a little more pep, though.
We need a sample, Scott.
Could you add a shit gratifter and a cheeseburger in there and like add it to the
Unfortunately, the they don't let you do it that way. I could do a whole retrain with his most excitable read, maybe. That would probably do it. But you never know. I've had that go wrong before. I tried to do the Super Mario voice. I recorded a ton, or I just fed a ton of stuff from the guy who does the Mario's voice in all the video games. And this was what his read of today's show would sound like. Okay, here you go. Enjoy. See how quick this is. Here we go.
The former world heavyweight champion Rocky Balboa serves as a trainer and mentor to Adonis Johnson, the son of his late friend and former rival Apollo Creed.
It's not even close. It's like
let's go.
They couldn't do it very well.
They really focused on the let's go, didn't they?
Yeah.
Speaking of AI, and AI has been on our minds a lot lately. So forgive me, but I mean, I realized that Creed was made in like 2014 or something.
Yeah.
But first scenes of the movie where we go back in time, 26 years or something.
Right.
I really noticed Felicia Rashad's digital makeup. I was shocked the first time I saw
technology.
You see Felicia Rashad and I was like, why does she look so painted?
That's like, interesting because I didn't notice that. I thought she looked pretty good.
I didn't either.
But maybe I don't know. I was fooled by the movie magic of Creed, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hardly noticed.
It wasn't offensive. I'm just saying, like, she is again making this movie 2014 ish, right? So she's what, 68? Mm. Or no, 66. Mm. Anyway, when you first see her, she looks like she's in her 30s or something. Mm. I was just like, what? Who? Why did they get a Felicia Rashad lookalike?
the kid they got to play young Adonis.
Maybe they're trying to transition you in a little bit because she was not the actress who originally played Creed's wife.
Exactly.
So she was a replacement.
Yeah, she's replacement wife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, was this the first time we'd heard about his proclivities toward...
I looked back because I was curious about that because it kind of bums me out a little bit that, you know, here's this dead character and we're all of a sudden going to make him, you know, have him some infidelity issues going on. It's like, we're supposed to really like Apollo Creed when he turns around and becomes, you know, Rocky's best beach buddy, hugging in the waves beach buddy.
Yeah.
It seemed like an extra layer to build the character to make him feel like an outsider that wasn't necessary. I mean,
otherwise, she
could have played his real mom. I mean,
but how do you explain how she's been gone all this time? If Felicia Rashad was his real mom,
I'm not the first person to say this because there's been a lot written about this movie, but they could have had the character of the widow be pregnant when Creed dies.
Absolutely.
And it absolutely ruined her, you know, mentally. And so she goes into hiding and has a baby and hides the baby from the rest of the world.
Gives the baby away. Okay. He gets in trouble. There's a million different things. It's not necessary for the character. I don't know why they put it in there, but you know,
they could have made it. As much as I totally agree, they could have gone that way. I feel like it would have been its own movie almost. Like
it was confusing to me because I didn't understand until probably, okay, I don't know if I turned my brain off because it was a Rocky 7 or whatever, but I went in and she's like, I was Creed's wife. And I'm like, oh, well, that means you're his mom, right? I mean, what's going on right now? I totally didn't catch that at first. I was like, okay, what's the problem? Yeah. Why didn't she see him? I'm what's going on?
Yeah.
It took me a little while to figure that out. Sadly.
If that took you a while, imagine if they'd gone the other way. It would have taken you a lot longer to figure it out.
Probably not as long at all. I would have been
They would have spent a lot of time of that intro, though, with the whole setup. And it's already a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Right.
It did not need to be a 2-hour-plus movie.
No, it didn't. I agree.
Why do we have Adonis watching old footage from Rocky 3?
Why? Or watching YouTube videos.
It was Rocky 2.
Do I need that?
Or 4. Was it Rocky 4 or 2? 2.
2, because it was Rocky versus... 4.
Yeah, because he didn't... Creed. No, it would have been 2, because he didn't fight... 3, he didn't fight him in 3.
He didn't fight Apollo.
Drago killed Apollo, right?
Yeah, and that would have been 4.
Yeah, but he was watching the videos of Rocky versus Apollo, wasn't he?
Right, that was 2.
Yeah,
that was totally from 2. Okay, so have we done 2, by the way? We haven't done 2.
I don't know.
I think of all the Rockies, I'm pretty sure we haven't done 2.
In Creed 1, we're at Rocky 7, which is what Creed 3 is.
I mean, right. No, but I know we watched Rocky 4.
Right.
And we watched Rocky 3 with Mr. T.
We did.
Yeah. See, that's easy to remember.
I don't know if we've done 1 and 2. That may be the thing we're not done.
I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah.
That may be one that we're going in reverse, right?
So, with the exception. We watched 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
And we watched them backwards. We watched 5, order. 4, and 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And now we've just watched 7.
weird.
And we still got 8 and 9. The case of
Mr. Benjamin Rocky is what we're basically doing.
And they're
watching the de-aging of Stallone.
They're doing a Drago spinoff as well, which is in production right now. Mm-hmm. I really, really like this Creed movie a whole lot, and I think it was surprising how much I liked it. But what really stuck with me, and I can't stop thinking about, and maybe it's the stark contrast between this and the previous week when we watched Cobra, but Sylvester Stallone is so damned good in this.
Yeah,
like
he really is
so good. He got an Oscar nomination that year and deserved it. He didn't win. I don't remember who beat him, but somebody else won. But he was so good and subtle and that original character, but more than that. And
almost to the point where you kind of wonder, why is this called Creed? And I want to hand it to Ryan Coogler, like writer, director, really gets what he's doing. Like, it's kind of amazing how early in his career he is here making such a mature film. The co-writer Aaron Covington never did anything else, and so I was like digging into here, why is Aaron Covington called your co-writer? I think he's the guy that Coogler asked to write all of the sports dialogue, all of the like HBO and ESPN dialogue. I think
Right.
I couldn't really. I can't really understand why this guy is listed here because he's literally never written anything else for movies
quick,
or whatever.
Quick piece of trivia before we get too far away from the Oscar nominations. Sylvester Stallone, or Stillvester.
Yeah, he's still, Vester.
Still around.
Yeah, he's here
still
until
Vester.
Yeah, was Vester.
Holds the record for most years between nominations for portrayals of the same character. So 39 years between 1976's Rocky and 2015's
Boy,
Creed.
You're digging deep.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that crazy? That's just,
that is crazy.
And isn't the, isn't that, so that's the record, you say?
That's the record. Yeah, the other ones are like Fast Eddie Felsen for Robert Redford for The Color of Money and The Hustler, Kate Blanchett for Queen Elizabeth and Elizabeth and the Golden Age.
Right.
Wait, Robert Which makes Redford, sense, right? Because
you don't mean
Al Pacino.
We
talked
Robert
about
Redford.
Judd Hirsch.
Or not Robert Redford, sorry,
the other one, the one he hung out with. Paul
the salad dressing guy.
Yeah, the guy that feeds us now. That's interesting. I just think it is so transcendent. It's just so good. And mm-hmm. So here's a weird thing. I loved the first Creed. I didn't see Creed 2 yet. No reason, just haven't gotten around to it. And 3 just came out.
Right.
And there's a lot
of
controversy.
Fourth, right?
Which? What?
They're talking about a fourth, right?
Yeah, they're talking about a fourth.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. In the case of 2 and 3, different director for 2, Coogler had already been tapped for Black Panther and was
Black
busy
Panther
with that.
At that time. Yeah.
Which, again, man, what a career having so young and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I just watched.
Yeah.
And then 3 Wakanda Forever Jordan directed himself. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael.
Oh, they came out the same week, the Black Panther and Creed. What?
Is that right?
No, I said I watched Wakanda Forever.
Watched it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one. That's
gotcha. So you watched those in the same week.
And that's still Coogler, right? He was all up in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
I just want to pick on a little something here. I think, I've never heard him say it, but it looks like Stallone believes pretty strongly that you never kill off your main character. Like, he's never killed off Rambo. He's never killed off Rocky. He's never killed off, his main character in Expendables, right? I mean, right. He could. He absolutely could. That would be a way to, make a movie very, very interesting. But he seems to have this belief. And so I was constantly this movie looking for someone to take an interest in whether or not Rocky was going to die. Right.
Right.
Because Rocky himself doesn't. He doesn't really have an interest in whether or not he dies.
Right.
And immediately I'm like, oh, so does Creed 2? Does Creed 2? Wrap this,
I'd never heard that. So I actually was expecting, because I don't know anything about Creed's 2 and 3 and about if Stallone is in either of those. So I'm, I'm sitting here watching this thinking, wow, this would be an interesting way for Rocky to die and kind of pass the torch on to Creed in this movie. But now that I hear that, it's like, okay, well.
Right, he's like, I'm not passing any torches. That's
he's going to live forever.
You'd think he was going to do like a Mickey or whatever, but he didn't in this one. And he is in the next one. And then famously, or sort of in the news recently, he has been out there saying why he's not in the third one, because he's not in it at all. And there were rumors that Michael B. Jordan kicked him out or something. That turned out to be bullshit. They're very close.
He's
and
got
not,
a couple of big projects going on right now. I mean,
well, it's that, but it's not. It's not that. Stallone stepped away. He was part of the script. Yeah. He got out. He says the reason he got out is the guy who ultimately owns the rights to Rocky is not him. It's somebody else.
Okay.
So he's still a executive producer on the third film, but he doesn't own it. Some 94-year-old dude. It feels like a Perlmutter situation.
Irwin Winkler.
That's the guy, and he won't relinquish anything. Won't let Rocky have any say about anything. And he says he's sick, basically in his words, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically I'm sick of this 94-year-old man telling me how I run the thing I created.
Stand them.
Yeah, so he backed out, and I guess it was, again, no.
Plus, he's really good at also recognizing that when he's like, oh, this is a young man's story, and this needs to be written and directed by someone who understands this upcoming generation, not me.
That's for sure. Like, a lot of this movie is about Creed himself, about Adonis Creed. It's about him finding love. It's a very modern take on it. And I'm really, really glad that Sylvester Stallone wasn't writing the dialogue for that.
Yeah. I loved his writing on Balboa, which is the movie that preceded this by 10 years or something, or whatever, 2006. So it'd have been 9 years. That's an amazing movie, but in a way that is it. That's the end of Rocky as we know it. And this is like late age. He's supposed to be 69 in this movie. This is like, oh, well, here's a new phase of a dude's life and he's part of it. But that torch has passed and it passed, you know, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. I love
also the fact that in Rocky's world, there's only two gyms in the world.
Yeah, there are only two gyms anywhere. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mitch's gym. And then some free agents over there.
Yeah.
But before we get into some of the ridiculousness, because this movie is, you can't help it. You can't help but have ridiculousness.
Well, it's a Rocky movie.
Yeah. But anybody feel like, wow, man, I would love to just get old and run a restaurant. Not even run it. Just hang out. I just
want to own a restaurant.
Every old man's dreaming. And I thought is that not universal?
I would love to do it. Yeah,
I want a record store.
Yeah, Brian wants a record store. I want a coffee shop, cafe thing. I want to call it Frog Pants, have art on the wall. Like, I've always had these ideas. And I think that is like the ultimate where you want to be. But the bummer about this movie is, that place has never got people in it.
Like, never.
I feel like it's a token.
The bills.
He took all his boxing money and moved into a crappy apartment above the thing, and that's
he
just,
sold. He sold Polly's robot Sicko after he passed away.
And, oh my gosh! Can that? Can we just for a second? This is why we're glad Stallone doesn't write like he wrote in the '80s. Right. That robot. What the f? I know we've seen the movie and we've had a whole conversation about it, but to this day, I still can't believe they did it.
Befuddling that I mean, it was basically like, oh, the kids like robots and science fiction. Let's see if I can put some of that into my movie.
I actually enjoyed it because it was like we were all like that at that time, right? It was like what one of the big syndicated TV shows one time was like.
Clarify though, are you saying you enjoyed it at the time or you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it. Well, both really. Okay. I mean, because it was.
I definitely enjoy it now.
That part was aimed kind of at my. Okay, let's imagine. I mean, you're trying to write a story, and you're like, okay, he's fallen into a bunch of money suddenly, a windfall of money. What's he gonna get? Some cars. What's he going to get his kid? It's got to be something outrageous, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm down with it, that. And they didn't like stick with it, though. They didn't like stay hard with it.
Exactly, because as a story, Rocky not knowing what to do with a lot of money is not a great story, right? It's an interesting little subplot, but it doesn't give you these great highs and lows of drama, right? And
that's blowing money.
And the same thing happens here, right?
Right.
Adonis is taken out of a boy's prison. And he's raised in a mansion, and his escape is to go box in Mexico, right?
Right.
That's a really interesting little subplot. We only get 5 minutes.
Wave that entire era away. It's like 10 years of his life, just poof. And we don't know nothing about it, except she comes home by herself. That house is ridiculously spacious and empty. There's nobody else there but Mrs. Huxtable.
I'm going to say, I love that she filmed probably 90% of her scenes all by herself.
On
she never touched anybody.
She really didn't need to be in the movie. The movie could have said, hey, Daddy Warbucks has sprung you and you're going to live by yourself in a mansion. And it would have been the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong. But her reactions in his fight and him.
Sold it for you, right?
Yeah, and him saying her name while he was there with the eye all swollen up and stuff and her reacting on the couch. I think that made that all good. And I thought she was really good in it. I loved
most of the makeup except for the eye. I don't know how you could do it better.
Oh God, that
but it was just
swollen.
Yeah,
it's nasty. Dang. It's nasty. Right. You thought that looked fake or what do you mean?
It was hard not to just go. There's no way, even if he could count. Yeah. There's no way they would let that fight go on.
Mm-hmm. His
meat is hanging off his chin. There's just, I'm like, okay, I can't follow you here.
While you're there, let's just get to this.
Gross.
What do you think grossed me out the most?
That's
a good question.
Okay.
The Raging Bull mini references where, especially like when the blood starts getting smacked all over the mat and stuff and they're just splashing buckets of blood?
I'm going to do one better on that note. I think it's the 3/4 cups of liquid that comes out of Michael B. Jordan's mouth in that slow motion shot.
Yeah.
100% that, and not only that, it hits the mat in such a way that it reminds me, oh, right, that's like 30% blood, 70% spit.
Yeah.
And it's foul.
And the first row is not wearing ponchos like SeaWorld.
No.
Have you guys seen Raging Bull, though? I mean,
never did.
Okay, so you've seen the scene where he gets hit and the Jake blood, they just splash the announcers and stuff, at the announcers table and judges table. Yeah. It's just so outrageous.
So yesterday at the Mammoth game, somebody in a row behind me who has a railing in front of him and then a big drop. So basically to my right, is like the handicap section. It's an area that's got bars around two sides of it. And then a big, riser going to the fourth level seats, two rows behind me. And somebody dropped their beer can, which I guess was resting on the rail, and it hit the floor. Nobody was sitting in the handicap. Well, a couple of people were sitting in the handicap section, but not nobody in wheelchairs or anything like that. It was just some kids who knew somebody who worked there or something. And beer splattered all over them. And all I could think about was the scene in Creed.
That stupid scene.
With them. Yeah, exactly. Like this must be what it felt like to be in the front row of the scene when Michael B. Jordan gets hit.
Yeah, there. I just can't do like spit blood. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's
spit blood's the worst. Blood's bad on its own. Yeah. Spit's bad on its own. Even, you put the two together. Gross.
And even thinking about just the practical effect of Michael B. Jordan having to hold all that liquid in his mouth.
Yeah.
And make it look like his face is really getting hit with like, you know, the skin it's moving amazing. In all different directions and him falling backwards and all that, and let it go. They're, you know, I'd love to see outtakes because I'm sure that was like take 14 of that same shot.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
And remember, this is an actual professional fighter. Like Tony Ballou is a real.
Oh, really?
Pretty Ricky.
Yeah. He hits really hard, you know, like in real life as a job.
Hold on a second. I got questions about
that.
Which
makes it even harder, right?
His build is wrong for a boxer. Like, I'm looking at Michael B. Jordan, who has got freaking piston guns going. This dude is ripped beyond belief. And then this guy walks in and he looks like me in the mirror in the morning.
Did you notice that they tried really, really hard to not show them like just standing around side by side?
So
couldn't compare them.
Shirtless. And,
the only indicator of raw strength is often just cut muscles, but still.
Did you ever see Foreman in his height?
I'm sorry, but Michael B. Jordan doesn't look like a fighter.
Exactly.
Is the point here.
Or the opposite.
You're right.
Go back and look at Foreman, like, ooh.
You're right. Even Rocky in his prime was ridiculously out muscled compared to what actual boxers look like. But it was just such a stark contrast. I was like, my gosh, how does this, like, my brain couldn't get around that dude being as strong as he was.
And of course, this movie has the awesome trope of the introduction of these other also ran fighters with the words on the screen that you try to read in 2 seconds. It was terrible. But man, some of them were real fighters, like real life boxers. And, you know, that's what they look like.
Brings a little Creed to the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. A little Creedence. Clearwater Revival. I thought the fighting stuff was real good. I think even when they were trying to cheese me with old school Rocky music to get me pumped, that worked on me.
If they would have just played that in the first round, this would have been a much shorter film.
Yeah, they would have. Oh, God. For sure.
After Rocky found out he got his cancer diagnosis and he's walking away and they're playing the slowest rendition of the Rocky song ever, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
They were definitely trying to abuse my emotions.
And that bit at the end where they're going up the thing to see the statue again and walk up the steps or whatever, they had it in the background. It was very 70s era Rocky's thing. It worked on me. It did. It had its effect. Yeah. It's like the new trailer for that new Indiana Jones 5 movie. Same problem. That music gets me so hard. I almost said gets me so hard. It got me so really, really got me.
Hits you so hard.
Yeah. Well, then
hit me really hard is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit to it here. It got me, you know, it got me feeling those
me
feels.
Yeah.
Sure. I do really want to see two though. And I don't know why or not two is the next Creed because
Creed two.
I'm of the opinion that Dolph Lundgren is so much cooler, older than he was younger.
Oh,
I agree.
Absolutely. I really, it's like Schwarzenegger that way. I think those two are so much cooler as old guys.
Yeah.
And I need to get into that.
Oh, but. I don't know if I agree about Schwarzenegger.
Really? I think he's great.
And I'm talking about Schwarzenegger, the action star. I can't imagine as an old man that Schwarzenegger, the action star, is cooler than he was in the 80s. But as just a like a guy, some, you know, like he's way more interesting to me as an old man.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. But there
have any of us seen, I know Scott, you said you hadn't, who here has seen Creed 2? And is it,
I have not.
Is it worth sacking, or is it just like, hey, now that you've seen Creed, watch the next one at your own?
I just want to restate what I said back in January when we put this on the list. There's a Creed 3, right? And people are going to go see it. Now they have. And I don't have any idea. And I just wanted to watch the first one with you guys and then see. Like, does this? And my answer is I don't know. I don't know if we need to sack Creed 2.
Even though it's got Dolph and Brigitte.
Yeah.
Oh, is Brigitte back? We'll
spend most of our time bitching about. Well, he's no Dolph Lundgren from Rocky. I mean,
from what I hear, Brigitte is barely in it, but she's in it.
Wow. Okay, but she was legit. She was in the in four, right? She was the wife or four, whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm tempted. The third one, maybe not, because it's just like a whole new thing. There's no connection to there's no Mr. T dip back or any of this going on. And there's no, missed
opportunity.
Mr. T opportunity.
I'm looking at two. It's got the entire same cast. It's got Felicia Rashad. It's got Tessa Thompson. And then the addition of, Dolph Lundgren and someone named Florian Montano
as his son. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the kid that and his dad are getting the spinoff. I guess it was effective enough. They're getting a spinoff.
Right.
Some people must have liked that shit when it happened in 2019.
did you like that shit? Right?
Does anybody have Rotten Tomatoes in front?
Not as high as rated as Creed 1, but very highly rated.
Okay. Like 83%. Yeah. All the Creeds. Oh, yeah. The Creeds in general, well regarded.
Then I'd say we don't need to sack it.
Can I make an opinion on why, by the way, these are so highly regarded and get such great ratings?
Make it.
Ryan Coogler knows how to freaking edit a movie. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Said that in almost the same breath as this movie did not need to be 2 hours long.
the edits from shot to shot are awesome in this movie.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
I am enthralled watching the movie, like watching our main character in bed in the dark, and then cut to he's awake and all you see is the reflections of his eyes. What? How did they even think of that? Who would have ever thought of that? It was such this movie is full of it. Over and over and over, there's this this editing cinematography genius here from Ryan.
These great long shots that really draw you in and make you feel like you're part of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, as you walk down going to the fight and stuff. I mean, it's all really good.
Oh, that bit where Smiling Charlie, whatever, is it, the British flubby boxer.
Pretty Boy Ricky
or whatever. When he's getting his intro.
Oh, that's awesome.
That guy blowing fire and the light coming down and then the light coming up. And there was something about that was really unbelievably cool. Like just.
Yeah.
I feel like I've never seen
fire breathing is just awesome. There's no way to poorly make a slow motion fire breathing.
Were the rest of these guys like, let's see, Danny Stuntman Wheeler, you know, these guys that got the title cards next to them and the freeze frames, which I also I thought I would hate that. I actually really like that. When they get their stats. Were those all real?
I think all of them were.
Boxers, but the stats were insane.
Oh,
oh no, yeah, I just meant are they real life like UFC or boxer people?
Yes,
okay, they are. All right, I just don't know that world at all. I did know this though. Graham McTavish, known most recently as House of the Dragon, dude, what was in charge of keeping the Queen safe? Who stood down because he didn't like the way things were going. I don't know if you remember this guy.
Right.
Anyway, he was also he was one of the Hobbits in the Hobbit movies. And he's the trainer for smiling Billy weirdo, pretty Ricky Colon.
It's a big old beard, right? The big old bushy beard.
Yeah, the bushy beard guy. That British actor, one of my favorite actors. And what's crazy is this is a kind of a reunion because he was in the 2008 Rambo reboot thing, the really bloody one. He was in that, played a special agent, SAS dude. Anyway, I love that guy. I just want to give a shout out to Graham McTavish. He was amazing in House of the Dragon. If you don't
I want to give a shout out to Joey I, who played Sporino Cutman, for having the most greatest name that matches your job description.
Yep. Just taking care of cuts.
Joey I.
Yeah.
The movie establishes these corner men and trainer people like Padman.
Padman.
And he's actually, this is a guy who's actually called Padman in real life.
Right.
And I really like them. I like how interesting they look.
I feel bad for Joanna Tolentino, I think is her name. She played her credit as Lady Cop.
And what was it?
I don't know. I don't remember cops. Was it in the early part where the kids are fighting? Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
Maybe.
But the one that really doppelganged me right to the grave was Jacob Stitch Duren, who is in all three of these movies. Stitch. He plays a character called Stitch, really named after himself. You blink and you'd swear you're looking at Edward James Olmos in this movie. Like for a hot second.
Specifically, Edward James Olmos from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Very specifically.
Yeah, from that era, right? You expect him to turn around and go, so say we all, right before the boxing match. And he did.
Slice. Yep.
That was weird. Just seeing a guy that looks like the perfect match, you know, like a body double for an actor that isn't in this movie was throwing me kind of the whole time. Mm-hmm. I like him though.
And we got nothing on him as far as a biography goes. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. He is apparently a very private person.
What's wrong with
that? He's only got these many credits. He was in, he was Vince's cut man in Play It to the Bone. Ocean's 11. He played Vladimir Ketchko's cut man, whatever a cut man is. Is that the same thing? The boxing?
The person in the corner who works on cuts.
So he must be, that must be this
dude. Or who actually cuts when you've got like a big old blood-filling lump going on. Yeah, you need to cut that so the blood comes out and doesn't
cover up your eye. He tried to cut that one stake he had on his eye, but it wasn't working.
Yeah, it didn't work very well. So this dude must be.
A job I could never do? Cut man. Right there.
Cut man.
Never.
So he must be. That must be what this guy has done his whole life, and now he's just been in a bunch of these movies, right?
He looks really good doing it. He's like, I'm gonna show you how to do it. There you go.
He was in Rocky Balboa, Creed 2, Creed 3. So he's been in four Rocky movies in a row. Good job.
And he saved humanity from the Cylons.
That's right. So say we all. Speaking of trivia, we got one here that Sylvester Stallone was the one that requested Michael B. Jordan wear the famous American flag trunks that Apollo Creed wore in Rocky. And Rocky War and Rocky 3, Rocky 5 as well, to keep the tradition of the Rocky universe. Yes.
Did we need it? Does anybody feel like we needed that?
I appreciate it. It's iconic.
Like it. Yeah.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's iconic. I'm cool with it. You didn't think so, Randy? You didn't like it?
No, it just felt like, we need to connect back to Mom. You know, like we need to, like, it just felt, I don't know, it felt shoehorned in for me. I was really going with Rocky Balboa saying over and over in this movie, this is not a good idea. You should not take this fight so soon. It's not, you know, like it's not in your best interest. And then like when the trunks come along, I'm like, so what is the universe telling this kid that he's going to be okay? I don't know. It just felt misplaced.
He was, by the way, Stallone was 69 when this movie was released, which we mentioned earlier, but it was the exact same age as Burgess Meredith when he released it.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Because Burgess Meredith seems so damn old.
Yeah. I think they
I was trying to figure that out.
They dropped a number. I think Burgess Meredith was 169.
That I believe. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. We left a digit off. That guy was born old. He was born at 50 and then worked up from there.
Right.
This is the other interesting thing. So this may explain why his performance was so subtle and great. As the film was entering pre-production, Sylvester Stallone's oldest son, Sage Stallone, died of a heart attack suddenly without any warning. And he was only 30-something. No, he's pretty young. Stallone has admitted that the loss almost sent him into a full breakdown, but Ryan Coogler was eventually able to convince him to use the film as a dedication to him. I think there is a dedication in the film.
There is at the very end.
Yeah. Focusing specifically on the father-son relationship that appears in it, although initially resistant, Stallone said at the Golden Globes that Creed helped him cope with his death. I think that's probably had a huge impact on him. Yeah,
that's a healthy way to do.
When he was when he's doing the thing right before, like so Creed, Adonis has had his pre jitters poop, right? And now he's getting ready to go out. He's got the hood on, and they do that circle camera around Rocky talking to him and
getting
him pumped. What an amazing freaking little scene! It's so good.
I just can't get it. I just want to say again, the cinematography of this movie is incredible.
Yeah,
and it was done by the same woman who did the Darren Aronofsky movie, The Wrestler. Oh, she shot that.
Yeah,
interesting. I got that vibe. There are parts of it where it was like dirty, gritty Philadelphia street, which you need for a Rocky movie, I think, if you're trying to get back to basics, right?
Her name is Maurice Alberti. I found it.
Nice.
And I just love, I love handheld camera when you don't sense that it's a handheld camera. You know what I mean? Like there's a bunch of, in the first big fight, there's a bunch of, the camera is in the ring with the boxers.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like there's a human holding a camera. You just feel like it somehow magically you're in there with them. Right. It's just beautiful.
We should check in with FilmSack resident MCU expert Brian Ibbett on the following. Yeah, all right?
Sure. Lay it on me.
Jordan played
43 people, by the way, is the answer.
Oh, my Lord. That's a lot. Jordan played Killmonger, Black Panther. That we got that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thompson, Tessa Thompson played Valkyrie and Thor.
Valkyrie and a few movies.
Ragnarok and then other stuff. And then Stallone played Stakar
Ogrok, or the Guardian, one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, one of the comic book Guardians of the Galaxy, and usually you see him as Darkhawk, I think, or Nighthawk. We're going to see him again in, we saw him at the end in end of two during Yondu's funeral.
Yeah,
he and some of the other OG Guardians are in a.
Michelle Yeoh is one of those, right? I think Michelle.
What's that?
Michelle Yeoh is one of those.
Michelle Yeoh isn't in the. I think she's got her own spaceship, but she is. She's also at the funeral.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're gonna see him again in Guardians 3. We're gonna see Stellar.
I wanted to challenge you to do Dwalin because what's his name? Graham McTavish. Because I'm sure he was in something.
It feels like he ought to have been in something. Oh, that guy's so damn iconic looking. He should be in some shit.
He should be. Yeah. Let's see here.
I am still. By the way, I am just still confused about why some of these hobbits. I'm sorry. Some of these dwarves in the Hobbit movies were so underutilized.
Since the Hobbit. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. They're all pretty great.
He's done comic book stuff, but not for Marvel. It looks like he was.
You do comic book stuff, Frank?
I do comic book stuff.
That's why I always ask them the first date.
You know, Preacher, Aquaman the movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Savanti Romero when the TV series, the animated TV series from 2015.
So we got a DC guy on our hands then. He's a DC man.
Yeah, I'm kind of, man, I am really surprised. Oh, here we go. He was the voice of Loki in the animated Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. So that's something.
Heroes.
Oh, yes. I like Honey Nut Cheerios.
They should make. Heart's Why mark. Isn't there a superhero spinoff of Cheerios called Heroes? What is going on?
Wolverine, the X-Men, he was Sebastian Shaw, the animated series there.
Makes
Loki
sense.
Again in Hulk Versus. So he's, he was in Pushing Daisies too.
Oh,
all right.
And Lost. But he, surprised we haven't seen him in a live action MCU deal because he's got the look, he's got the voice, he could easily be something.
They could be a villain, he could be a wise, I don't know, can't think of a good character, but you know. Whatever. Bring him in. Graham McTavish, your time has come.
Make him, the X-Men character that is he's got a black and white uniform. One of the newer characters, he's mysterious, got his face almost always covered. Came out in the Mark Miller era. I can't believe I'm not remembering his name.
What's his power? What does he do?
Yeah, that would be a good thing to remember too, wouldn't it? Hold on a second.
He has the power of making you forget.
Not Zorn.
Zorn
would be cool, although Zorn, I guess, turned out to be. It begins with an M. Shoot. Let's see.
Morn?
Mourn.
It's probably going to take me. There's so many damn X-Men. It's going to take me forever to.
Is it the Mark Miller run? So there's probably a note here. Let's see.
Yeah, looking at
Cyclops, Jean Grey, Wolverine. Blah, 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 blah. I'm looking. Magneto's. It'd be a cool Magneto.
It starts with the M. That'd be smart. Yeah.
I can't find any other names in there.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got the. All right. Here we go. Let's see. Mirror Island. Oh, gee. Phantom X does not begin with an M whatsoever, but Phantom X would be a good.
Phantom X.
Because he's British. I'm sorry, the Grant Morrison era of X-Men, not Mark Miller.
Well, gotcha. Oh. Miller would have killed him. He would have killed everybody else.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm looking right now. Oh, yeah. Look at him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
I like that guy. Yeah, you know what? That's a good call. Sure. I mean, that's considered canon. I mean, it's in the comics, right? So why not?
Exactly. Easily could introduce him.
Oh, he's badass.
Yep.
Is he older in the comic? Or
He can be ageless. I mean, there's nothing that says he has to be a certain age.
No, we should do it. All right.
But he's British. He's got, swear to God, can't even remember what his powers are. Is he like?
He's got guns.
He's got guns.
He's a smoke monster.
He's got guns. He's got smoke. He's old, but he doesn't have to be.
There we go. Powers and abilities. His external nervous system, referred to as EVA, that emerged from his mouth during his time in the world and developed into a techno-organic flying saucer-like vessel.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, we'll definitely be seeing him in the MCU. That seems easy to create.
Yeah,
that's good. He can create extremely realistic illusions. This ability is based on reality skewing, so not telepathy, not holographic projection, but he can basically make people think they're seeing something that's not really there.
Gotcha.
What is it?
Now, you know, I played at the beginning of the thing, this conversation.
What you doing here, man?
All right, so that's an interesting conversation because that character played by... Oh, I had it up and now I lost it. His name is, I always forget it. His name is Wood Harris. He plays Duke, and Little Duke is in all three movies, but he's barely in this one. He's just in those initial scenes. And he's the one that Michael B. Jordan comes in to talk. He's kind of a dick to him.
The son of Duke, the character from the earlier Rocky movies.
Correct. That's an important thing. But anyway, Wood Harris and Michael B. Jordan famously worked together on The Wire, especially the first few seasons, or first season. Okay. And Wood Harris, sorry, it's been a long time, everybody, so I'm about to spoil something. Wood Harris is directly responsible for the death of Michael B. Jordan's character in the first season of that show. You know, what's fun to watch is to go back and watch that and look at what a skinny little twerp Michael B. Jordan was. He was so thin. He was like a little noodly kid. And now he looks like could take a truck and throw it over the bridge. It's just
where was that in relation to Friday Night Lights? Because that's the first place I remember seeing Michael B. Jordan.
Friday Night Lights was after The Wire.
After The Wire,
yeah, okay. But not long after. My first exposure to, because I watched The Wire late, so my first exposure was Friday Night Lights with Michael B. Jordan, and he was still pretty thin there. I think Creed may have been the first time where we all went, oh shit, look what he did. What'd you do over the summer, Michael B. Jordan? Like, you could tell he was
really filled out too. How you doing?
And if you have not seen Fruitvale Station, that's another collaboration between Coogler and Michael B. It's great. It is fantastic and absolutely worth it.
Oh, I wondered about that. I didn't know that was a Coogler joint.
I did that as a recommendal, I think, last year, 2022, because We'd never seen it. We don't have the time to watch everything everybody recommends and something that we can recommend ourselves. So
right. Well, I'm going to rectify that mistake right now and put this thing on my queue. Here we go.
And Scott, I can name something else that Wood Harris and Michael B. Jordan were both in. What's and that? I am not recommending it. You should not watch this.
Okay.
They were both in Space Jam: A New Legacy.
Oh,
it's terrible.
It's not good. No, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard nothing but like, don't watch it unless you're a kid. If you're a kid, you might like it. Look, I like the 96 one. I'm not going to lie.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's a fun time. But this new one sounds real bad, even though they put some Mad Max Fury Road War Boys in it. That's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, because it's a WB joint. They can use all their IPs.
I've got to watch it. What choice do I have?
Same with what was the Spielberg the one where the kids got the VR helmet and what's it called?
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
The Fableman.
Ready Player One has some Mad Max Fury Road people in it. It's pretty great. Anyway, let's see what else we got here.
Can we talk about Tessa Thompson a little bit?
Sure, she's
absolutely
great.
Always.
Tina's tired of me talking about her all day yesterday.
Yeah. Could we start with a trope alert?
Sure, let's give her a trope alert.
You have to go on a quest to win a lady as a prize. That's just how this works. I'm sorry. This is a movie about a guy who's on a quest, and if the lady's going to be a prize, you have to go on the quest to win the lady as a prize.
I didn't think
she is. She has some development as a character, right? There's some things that really actually happen in her life alongside the rest of the story, but. Honestly, like
she's Adrian 2.0. I mean,
that's what I was gonna say. Exactly. She's just Adrian again.
Exactly.
Yeah. The difference between Adrian and this is Adrian was kind of mousy and quiet, and he really brought her out of that. In this case, she's not having that problem. She's very outgoing, extremely independent, strong woman career. Who doesn't need him. And it is as a way of humbling him instead of the other way around, or changing him instead of him changing her. And I like that. I thought that was good.
And Adrian's character didn't. And if they were planning like a sequel, Adrian's character really kind of what blossoms in 2 or 3 when she starts really, giving it back to Rocky. She finally starts standing up. So I was fine with.
And she was very upset about that stupid robot he brought home. Remember that? So I don't, she has my respect.
I had to watch a supercut of on YouTube of Polly's robot just to refresh my memory for my
But now what they've done is they went from Polly gave me a robot and was like, sharing in the wealth or whatever, to Polly died in 2012. His room looks like it's from 1972. We left it without changing a thing. And here's his copy of Swank magazine. Go ahead and enjoy his bed.
I love that Swank magazine was still there.
Try not to catch yourself on the crusty sheets.
Exactly like it was.
He was way too excited to just jump in that bed and take and go to sleep. I just went, dude, Pauly was in there in his waning days within reach of a Swank man. Come on.
Yeah. And I don't see Sylvester Stallone as changing the sheets too often.
No, he didn't change anything. It was all dusty in there. The lamp was made in the 60s. So all I could think of was like, do I make the blood spit thing the gross thing that grossed me out? Or do I make Polly's room?
I'm thinking.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. But anyway, what was I going to say about him? Oh, just the movie being willing to acknowledge all of the past stuff, I think is good. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like they were trying to, now we're making it modern or we're basically creating a new Rocky, but we're calling him Creed. And I respect
in this context, it makes sense because this is how life unfolds. People go, people go through journeys, and we've just shifted all the characters to the next step in their journeys. And it didn't feel like a recreation to me. It felt like something new.
And she's just amazing as an actress. Like she's so good at this portrayal, and it's not the easiest thing in the world, right? Like she and Michael B. Jordan are playing a little bit younger than they actually are, which that happens a lot, right? Especially high school movies. Yeah. But there's just there's a thing about her that you actually wonder throughout the film. Is she going to actually stick with him? Like he lied to her about his name. And then when he gets in a ridiculous fight in a hallway outside her show, like it's just like I'm just like, she's playing it really well because I have no idea what's going to happen here.
That fight in the hallway was, I thought, really good. Felt legit. Yeah. It didn't feel like your typical like don't disrespect me kind of scene. It felt more like
she was writing him, just clearly just writing him off.
Yeah, and that dude was an a-hole. They took a picture with him and then called him Creed Baby. Is that what he called him?
Yeah, Baby Creed.
Baby Creed. All right, Baby Creed.
I'll punch you real hard.
He's like, don't call me that. What? And then I was like, oh, shit. It's going down in here. This is going to be bad.
That's the trope of the hair trigger temper, which I felt like the movie wanted us to believe in, but it didn't really portray it. It's like, he's got a hair trigger temper. He's going to land him in jail. Okay, but it doesn't matter.
And it was there early, right? It was there when he was a kid, and then it would come up here and there, and the idea was that she was softening that. She was making that less of a problem. I'll tell you what really I believed the most in the movie, the thing that really made me think like if I was in this situation, this is what would happen, is him having to have a freaking freak out poop before he goes out and does the fight.
Yeah, it's so real.
Yeah, like did we get closure on that? Like, okay, I got to go take a poop right now.
Yeah, I got to go now. If I don't go now, I'm going on stage.
You didn't see the brown stripe on the USA shorts? You didn't see him?
No. No, I missed that. But
thin,
you know,
brown line. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. There was a vulnerability to it that just said, look, he's human. He's not just this machine. And now the big show's here, and he has to really go. Like, this is real for now.
Yeah,
and
everybody has a stress shit.
Yeah, everybody's got their stress shit.
And I love how in the middle of that, Bianca, in the middle of that, of him yelling he has to get the gloves off, Bianca's like, I'm leaving the room now. She literally says, I'm going to go outside now.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then they all hang around the door while he's going. It's like, so. It's just felt, that all felt really real to me. I don't know why. One other thing I wanted to mention was if Killmonger and Valkyrie had the opportunity, is there any MCU timeline where those two are making out and getting it on?
Why not? Yeah, sure. I mean, it could have easily been a side thing in Endgame, right? If Killmonger had lived, he would have absolutely turned and helped Black Panther and the Wakandans in the Endgame fight.
Yeah.
And there could have been a little, like, you know, little wink across the vast field, the battlefield between the two of them,
the blown up divide that they had going on there.
That's right.
Okay. Exactly. All right.
What's up with the poppin' willies? Anybody else like going? Oh, is this the Philly thing? Did the Phillies do the poppin' willies?
It must have been. Didn't it feel? I felt like I was watching some authentic thing I'd never heard of. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe it's not real, but it felt like, oh, is there a little subculture
it's
of
just
like
a little, here's what we do when someone has cancer. We circle around their friend and provide their support.
Getting higher.
But the whole like motorbike wheelie thing, just maybe there's a, you know, it's like skater culture or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy that Adonis got to run alongside motorized vehicles a lot.
Yeah, that was like fun.
All kinds of different motorized vehicles. He's a fast runner. Wow.
Yeah.
He's
fast.
Yeah, he can run and he looks good running. Hey, take a note, most of the rest of Hollywood. Y'all run like weirdos.
He
runs great. Yeah, Steven Seagal, freaking Tom Cruise, y'all suck at running. This guy, tearing it up.
Steven Seagal is the straight hands, right? Isn't that what he does? He like does the aerodynamic.
Keeps his arms like straight. Yeah,
but he keeps his hands straight too, right?
Isn't there? Flops him around. Waves. I thought he went like kind of waves, like like he's trying to wave mosquitoes away as he runs. Plus, he sucks and is terrible. That's the other thing about him. Should we do some clips? Anybody have any other big hot moment issues they want to bring up?
Man, I like this movie. So it was kind of tough to make fun of it.
It's really good.
Even though there was like, you know, stuff like, I'm going to train on the chemo ward. And I'm like, oh, I've got to put that in my intro. You know, this is a bunch of weird stuff.
Some of that stuff's weird, but it's really good.
Did we talk about the, when he's in the corner and Rocky's tapping on the back of his neck to tell him how many fingers the doctor's holding up?
I kind of mentioned it because I was like, there's no way they would let him fight, even if he could count. I mean, it wouldn't matter.
That eye is seal shut. You are wearing half of a Cadbury cream egg on your face. You cannot see through that.
That was a nice touch.
I want to state one counterpoint to that, and that is over the years that I watched boxing a lot, I saw many fights where a boxer was allowed to continue with an eye swollen completely shut for a little while. And so if this comes up late in a fight where a boxer is behaving competently, it's not completely impossible that he would be allowed to continue.
Right.
That's all.
I've never seen it that gross looking. I've seen them gross. I've seen them swollen shut, but that thing is about to fall off his chin.
Well, you were getting 4K zoomed up, nasty ass looking thing. As close to your face as you'll ever have, probably.
Especially not in 2015. I remember seeing a lot of swollen eyes in previous years, but I think in the last 10 years, a lot of that stuff is really, I think they've gotten a lot more health conscious about
it. It's like football or anything else. They have rules to help. Yeah. There is more of that these days.
And then the other little thing that really struck me as realistic in this movie was this new guy who didn't have a lot of experience going the distance with the champion of the world.
Yeah.
And that's only because of Buster Douglas. In real life, Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson, who was in unbeatable at the time. Right. And no one knew who Buster Douglas even was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like that felt like it was a little bit realistic.
Yeah.
Right.
It says, speaking of Mike Tyson, it says he's not in this one. Is it two? He's in one of the other two as some kind of small role.
Yeah. You know, I always love boxing movies because they're so exciting. If you ever watch real boxing, most of it's not nearly that exciting.
It's a lot
not
of hugging.
Nearly as many head blows as
way
goes
more
on
hugging
here.
In real boxing. Than
right.
Than film blows. Boxing.
Yeah. I don't like it. That's the way I feel about, I'm trying to think of a sport. I actually kind of like a lot of live sports, but that's one that I just kind of, it's like golf for me. I just cannot get into it. They need to make a golf movie where it's like really dynamic shots and big loud sounds.
The technology needs to be, they almost need to do something like they did with the, with hockey for one season where they had a little blue halo around the puck for people who had small TVs and couldn't see where the puck was.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But make golf, televised golf look like live action PGA golf tour video games where you've got a live action screen, but then you've also got like the HUD stuff kind of along the side and the little model of where they are on the greens compared to
we're talking about this on the last day of the Masters like today.
Yeah. Good. Then they've got time to fix it.
They got time to fix it next year. Exactly.
And I just checked in on it. I just like looking a little bit, like catching up. I'm not interested. I promise. I'm not interested. I just came across it last night on TV.
Why'd you bring it up, Randy?
Because I want you to know how right you are. Yeah. It is shot so boring. Mm. It is just like, why aren't they doing more drone shots? You know what I mean? Like,
That would be cool. Give it, make it better for a younger generation that's only really familiar with golf video games. Make it more like that and it'll take it into the next century.
The next level, as you would say.
Or just let golf die.
That's right.
So, clips.
Yeah. Anyway, clips. Also, clips. I didn't know that you didn't say Bean Fork was in Fruitvale Station. Now I got to see it.
Oh, I forgot about Bean Fork, yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, I love Octavia Spencer. I like all these people, but Bean Fork, I'm in.
Bean Fork.
Let's do clips. This is an array of clips. Let's start with this one. Enjoy.
Beat his ass.
Beat his ass. There you go.
Beat his ass.
Beat his ass. He used the N-word. I just didn't want to play it. But
yeah. Oh, thank you.
Get the what knocked out of you?
You're going to get the shit knocked out of you.
Okay.
He did later on. So before he even got knocked out of him, he just went ahead and got rid of it.
Man. He plays the big bad in the first season of The Wire, and his head honcho dude is Idris Elba. It's such a good season, you guys. Oh my gosh. Brian, you got to watch The Wire.
I got to keep watching The Wire. I'm still in the first season, and it just feels 90s AF currently, and I'm waiting for it to get out of that.
That was my experience when I went back to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry to tell you, you got to push through the beginning. It's a real hard start. Like so many things, right? Like,
yeah, it's a great first season.
You got to get past the first like five episodes of Picard and so on.
Yeah, it's like 2002.
I kind of got pulled away by incredible third season of For All Mankind, the best season so far of that show.
Really?
Yes.
See, there's a show I've dropped off of for no good reason. I need to get back.
Because
the first season is hard to watch. It's not easy to keep up with.
And two's good. You'd say season two's good.
Two's great. Yeah, two's excellent, and three is the best season yet.
Damn,
so good.
All right. Yeah, I'll get in there. Here's some
training. Back to The Wire for me.
All right. Here you go. Here's some training.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about training me.
Training. I don't do that stuff no more. Sorry about that. Listen, it's getting kind of late, kid. So I'm gonna close up.
Yeah, no one's here. But go ahead and close up. Nobody comes here though.
Why can't Rocky say the word shit? I realize it's a PG-13 movie, but I've watched PG-13 movies where they say, I watched Super 8. They say the word shit like 500 times in that movie.
Yeah, shit. So you say shit all the time in these movies. And Sylvester Stallone, just not a shit sayer. You know?
Why? What's his problem there?
Not a shit sayer.
I don't know. I've never noticed him say it in anything that I can think of. I'm trying to think. By the way, I did look at, you guys were saying how his characters never die. I looked it up. You're absolutely right. He never has a dead character.
No, and I want to be clear. The main character that is made by Sylvester Stallone, it doesn't seem that
when he's Dredd, he doesn't die. When he's, everything else, I stop or my mom will shoot.
Daylight.
Daylight. Yeah. All that. He never dies. He's not, he won't die. He will live forever. Even though, look at this search
dying
I did.
For losers.
I was going to show you guys earlier and I forgot to tell you. Look at this search. This is a screen grab. I wrote, has Stallone, and then look at all the predictive it gave me. Did Stallone die today? Oh, I sent that to Dunaway.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I'll no, take it.
My bad. My bad. Sorry. Has Sylvester Stallone died? Why did Stallone die? Did Sylvester Stallone die today? Died today?
I know.
What the hell?
According to some site I just looked up, Stallone's characters have only died in three movies. They were all in the mid-70s.
Oh.
Death Race 2000, Capone, and Fist. And other than those, he's never had a character. He's never played a character.
Wild. Before. Once he got some clout, he was like, all right, listen, the first porno I made, I didn't die, and I'm never doing it again.
I'm not dying there. I'm not dying here.
Remember that whole thing? He did a porn.
Yeah. You know. That's where the Italian Stallion nickname came from.
Yeah. Right. For his big wiener.
Well, no, I think that was the name of the film.
Oh. I thought it was horse wiener. I really did. All right, here I want to hear this. I want to hear this guy talk all day long. Let's see what I meant.
Pretty Ricky Conlon is a faithful son of Liverpool, England, a place where people find hope in the tales of their heroes.
That's that HBO Sports guy.
Yeah. Love
so
it.
Cool.
Makes sports
so funny
so
that
good.
We didn't watch this on HBO. Like it's not available on HBO.
Oh, I did. Yeah, it is.
Is
That's
it?
Why oh, I watched is it? It.
Wait.
Yeah, oh, I watched it on Amazon.
It's on every freaking thing. That was my joke in the beginning.
Oh, I saw it on Prime. I didn't know it was on. HBO.
I didn't know it was either. Well, it you felt better with it. The HBO stuff.
Yeah. Is 2 and 3 on there? Because I may just watch
I
those.
I believe so. And AMC Plus, if you got that on your feed, they're running Rocky all day, including Creed stuff. So yeah,
this is a conversation for a different day. But I finally did the Showtime.
The AMC,
thing.
You pulled the trigger on the AMC.
No. I did Showtime and finally Showtime. Watched Everything Everywhere All at Once last night.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Everything Everywhere All at Once is the shit. It is so good.
The hype, believe it,
dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing, hold on. I'm really basking in this moment. I love it when Scott finally does something months later.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy.
I'm behind here, but and it's the kind of thing I would have normally have seen by now, but I just took my time.
It's got so much heart. Like it's, you know, it's sci-fi and all that stuff and funny and hot dog fingers, but there's so much heart wrapped around all of that
it's
stuff.
It's brilliant, but I will say this, and this is someone who really likes what's her beat? Christopher Guest's wife.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. I really like her. But I think the daughter was robbed out of that Oscar. She should have been the nominated person.
Hung Chow, 100%.
Unbelievable performance by her. I don't know what they were thinking there. That blows my mind. Were they just afraid they were going to have too many Asians on stage? Like, what was that about? That was so weird.
She's just not well known compared to the others.
I guess so.
That's all.
But, man, she blew.
Oh, no, she wasn't Hung Chow. Hung Chow was nominated for The Whale.
No, it's like Stephanie Hsu.
I
got to
go back. I got to go back, but man, Angela Bassett destroyed me in Black Panther.
Oh, Wakanda
Forever. So I've got to watch that as well.
I need to do that to get the 911 taste out of my mouth because she's the main or one of the main stars of 911. Yeah, and that is the cheesiest, stupidest show.
One of the characters that in 911 that needs 911 eventually in one episode or two.
They all do at one point or another. But
We're derailing, Scott, you got Showtime.
Yeah.
You're gonna watch Yellow Jackets.
That's next. That's next. So I'm watching Yellow Jackets, which was
Scott know about Yellow Jackets?
I know nothing. Zero.
I want you to just guess. What is it about?
A lady with a bee on her face. That's all I know.
Yeah, perfect. Nailed it.
That's all I know. I really don't. I've stayed completely.
Basically Silence of the Lambs movie poster.
I've stayed completely spoiler free on Yellow Jackets. So I'm going to dive into that. I'm also going to watch. There's a Western on there that I've been wanting to see for years and I already forgot the name. Came out a few years ago. Can't remember it. Anyway, with Buster Scruggs in it. What's his name?
Lake Nelson.
Yeah.
Old Henry.
Old Henry. I want to watch that. That's on there. It hasn't been anywhere but there. And then there was something else Kim saw that she went, we should see that. And anyway, there's a whole list.
You need to watch The Last Manhunt.
Okay. I'm not watching that Dexter movie. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. The reunion
series thing. Yeah.
No, but if you do get, I think it's still on there, Super Pumped, which has a horrible name, but is very good. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's stars as the founder of Uber.
Oh, the Uber story, right?
Okay. Yeah, and it's got Friday Night Lights coach Taylor in it, and
yeah, I'm all in on that.
And Carrie Condon from *Halt and Catch Fire*.
Yeah,
she's great.
And I'll say,
Carrie Condon, she was in *Banshees of Inisherin*.
Just to say, I think it's funny because I thought *Inisherin* was my favorite of the movies, but I'd seen so few this year. Yeah. I really think the movie that won should have won. I think *Everything Everywhere All at Once* is a really an amazing piece of work. Period. Like film or not, and I think. Short Round absolutely deserves more than deserves his award. Like, how did that even happen? My gosh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. He was so good.
He's great. Yeah.
And no one told me about, that's a spoiler. I don't want to tell anyone about that, but there's a,
right. That's why no one told you, Scott.
Let's just say there's something that happens with a wheelchair that blew my mind and no one told me. So I'm just excited about that. What a movie. All right, moving on to this clip.
And the constant references to Ratatouille, only all completely wrong.
Yeah,
are some
that
of the
was amazing.
That has ever been in film.
That was great. Yeah. And it's the first movie I've seen where they did some very stupid things that worked.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's hard, you know? Now I want to go see the Swiss Army Man movie that the director did before this. Because we've talked about Sack and that. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I watched it. It's weird. I liked it though.
I like weird.
It's weird.
I like weird. I'm into weird. And Michelle Yeoh is amazing. Anyway, so good. What is she singing? I wrote here. Griff. 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 Is she saying Griff?
She's saying grip.
Oh, grip.
Yeah, I think it's just like, you know, when you've got your grip on me kind of thing. Okay. I wrote in my notes actually has one line. It's just grip, 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 grip,
grip, grip.
So I was hoping you would. Grip. There's another quote or there's another line from the movie that I hope you've recorded because it seems to be something that Sylvester Stallone, it's almost his I'm back.
Oh.
Or I'll be back.
All right, we'll find out. Here's a clip, or here's Stallone doesn't understand the internet.
What cloud?
He didn't understand how cloud-based
computer. What cloud? What cloud?
Yeah, what cloud?
I think it might have even been in that same scene, so if these are in chronological order. When he first sees, in that scene, when he's unloading the truck and Creed comes up, he says, "Are you hungry? You want something to eat?"
Oh, crap. I didn't get it. Dang it.
We're going to need a supercut of Sylvester Stallone in 12 movies saying, "Are you hungry?"
Yeah. Because I think it was 5. He did that one I captured. I think it was Rocky 5.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie
I
sucks.
Thought you were going to say him going, "Yo." Because he says, "Yo." And it just it makes my heart sing.
It's great. No, it's great. It's like, this is such a cool legacy for him. I think these are. You know,
Adrian. He says that when he goes up to Adrian's grave too, right? He says, "Yo, Adrian."
Yeah, he does.
Adrian.
It is great though that your thing that got you going, that really got your career,
right,
is still rad and good today. You know, like even though you had a bit of a dip, 5 was shit, like just complete shit. 4, it was fun, but it wasn't. You know, it was a cartoon. So things got weird there in the middle, but now, you know, 6 brought it back, or Balboa, whatever. Rocky Balboa is an amazing movie. And then this, and then these new ones. I don't know. It's a great legacy. I just think it's cool.
Dunaway just reminded me of a question that this movie raised for me, and I wrote it down, and I just can't help myself. Can you go to just most any graveyard and pick up like some unopened bottles of booze? Do people like
they're just left there? I'm sure you can. Yeah.
This must be some tradition.
He had a chair hidden in a tree. That dude had all kinds of magic. Obviously he went there quite often. That's where he was living in the past, 1 foot in the grave. He's ready to leave, right?
Yeah, he's ready to go. Like he told the doctor, he's like, "Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm good.
I'm out of here. Whatever."
Yeah, whatever. That poor girl, she couldn't talk any sense into him. All right, block it. Something. Oh, here it is.
Block it, slip it, or get out of the way.
I like that.
Yeah.
Block it, slip it, or get out of the way. What is slip it? Slip it means dodge it?
I thought flip it. Like if he punches you, you flip it and punch him, or dodge it, or get out of the way.
Okay, let me play it one more time here.
Block it, slip it, or get out of the way.
I can't tell.
I think it's a flip.
Might be flip, yeah. It makes more
sense,
right?
One more time thinking flip.
All right, here we go.
Block it, slip it, or get out of the way.
I'm still hearing an S.
I'm still hearing flip it.
Yeah, but that could be a Stallone. Yeah, exactly.
Let's get ready to mumble. I am the
law. All right. You walk around naked.
Don't you walk around naked?
No.
No, I don't walk around naked.
No. You need it. Nobody's walking naked, right?
No, not in his house. Except Pauly. I think he's doing a lot of naked.
Yeah, probably.
Here's where he has to poop.
Oh, cut my gloves off.
What's wrong?
My gloves, just cut them off.
I can't cut them off. I'm ready to go fight. Are they too tight?
I'm freaking out, okay? I'm freaking out right now. I gotta take a shit. Somebody gonna wipe my ass for me? Cut my gloves off. Come on, huh?
Come on, I don't remember. Well, you know, it's weird.
I must not have had the speakers turned up enough because I didn't pick that up.
No, wow. Same. I didn't remember that either until I played it back just now. Weird. Yeah. Weird.
Love it.
This is a bit of a off. You know, we already went on a tangent. We'll do one more here. Bri Dibbitt's prom date. We got some audio from that. And this is what you said to your date before you got into the dance, which seems like a thing you might say. So here it is.
Obey my commands at all times. Protect yourself at all times.
Wow. What kind of prom? What kind of, I mean, what was going on in that place?
It was a rough school. She came from the good side of the tracks, and I was taking her to my school, which was on the wrong side of the tracks.
Use protection at all times?
I did. I had to have her cut it off of me because I needed to take a shit.
Gotcha. Oh my god. Yeah.
Gross.
I'm gonna be like Bianca. I'm gonna go outside and wait outside.
All right. Graham McTavish would like a word.
Listen to me. This is not a negotiation, all right? Now, you're the idiot that ran around Toxteth with a gun. Do you remember that?
Love him. So good.
So, and in case you didn't pick up on the story, he's supposed to be going to jail or something, and so he's trying to take care of his family. It was really kind of hard to follow that.
It was kind of a, hey, what if they had a Mike Tyson type in Britain sort of idea?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was
good,
a hothead.
Good analogy.
Of course, at the end, you know, all is forgiven once the fight goes, you know, long. And
yeah, that's how the Rocky's supposed to end. You're earning respect. You're not earning the belt. You're earning respect.
You know, and it's the right line, too. Like when they got there and he says, you're the future of this division, whatever. He's finally like giving him respect. And all Michael B. Jordan can say is respect. And then walks away.
Respect.
And I thought to myself, what else would he say? Would he say anything else? No. You'd just say that. Why wouldn't you say that's good writing by Ryan Coogler? I want to be Ryan Coogler. He has a cool career. All right. Here's this right here.
Fighting Pretty Ricky Conley!
All right. I don't know what that was about, but there it was.
Pretty Ricky.
He's excited because he's going to fight the champion of the world.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, he's stoked about it. Here's the big stop it scene.
Stop it.
A lot of stop its.
Grip.
Yep. Her next hit is Stop It on the heels of a very successful Grip.
I call this dating a boxer. Yeah. Stop it.
Stop it. Here's Stallone being awesome.
You've never been in front of this many people before, right? That don't matter. You've never been this far away from home. That don't matter. What matters is what you leave in that ring and what you take back with you. And you know what that is? Pride and knowing that you did your best and you're doing it for yourself, not for me, not your father's memory, but for you.
And what you got to picture is this amazing camera work swirling around the two of them.
Yeah.
Ah, it's a great scene. All right. I think that's what got him the nomination, if I'm being honest. It wasn't him puking because, that's the other thing. I don't think I've ever seen Stallone puke in my life. That was the first time, I think. I was trying to track it.
Yeah.
It really sold he was sick.
Yeah.
Way better than the coughing into a napkin and pulling it away to see blood in the napkin.
I hate that trope.
That's the typical trope, yeah.
I hate that one. Everybody does it. Oh, so annoying.
When Stallone falls down, also, it really sold it. Like, he knows how to fall down.
Yeah, when he says, what's wrong? And he goes, I don't know. Like, there was some real honesty to that stuff. People are going through a thing. That was rough. The ref rules. This guy's great. The British ref, check him out.
No law blows, no silly business. Keep it clean, will you? Understand?
Barely.
No.
Barely no, understand.
Right. No silly business.
Do you have subtitles for this fight?
That accent. I don't know. Some British person will tell us, but I don't know where that one's from. That's some way up north thing or something.
The streets?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love it, though. All right. Get up, D.
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 Yep.
Grip.
Get up, D.
Grip. All right. Here's your final, your final clip. Oh, it's impossible for me not to get excited is the note I wrote. Here you go.
Go get him, Dan.
I just can't help it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not even that good of a riff. It's just that we've all had it programmed into us. You know?
Now it's time to part. We get excited. Yes.
Yeah. It's like hearing, I don't know, Star Wars music or Indiana Jones or anything else. Yeah. It's just like, oh shit, this is where I have to, my body goes into like a response mode, and it's a very emotionally satisfying moment. But with that note, we now move over to this. Yeah. The Film Sack checklist goes a little like this. Rocky's sad, empty rooms? Check. Polly was really into Swank magazine? Check.
Yes, he was. Big old Swank magazines, too.
Rocky barf? Check.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do Star Trek connections. Bound to be a couple here.
Nope, not really. Got to dig really, really deep to find exactly one in the entirety of the credits. Not sure what that's about, but there's a Foley editor named Jim Lukowski in this movie, who also did Foley work for Star Trek Generations, which is like 23 years before this movie or something. This guy, Jim Lukowski, what a career in sound design. He is credited in Avatar and Iron Man and Avengers Endgame and Black Panther. Like, what a career. I just think this is awesome.
That is great. Who do we need? Get Wachowski in here. We're making a movie.
Bring me Wachowski.
Yep. We got a job to do. All right. Well done. Let's move on to the soundtrack. Great. I give it a JR for just right for this kind of movie. I thought the use of rap and stuff was perfect. I thought the intermixing of modern and old was cool. Just a high quality product all around.
If it will.
Twitter post. Let's get to where we sum this damn thing up in 280 characters or less. And this week we'll start with Randy.
Creed, a bunch of men who all get together and work out to be muscular and aggressive. And there's exactly one woman who's basically a prize for the prettiest guy. And he's got a piece of silly putty covering one of his eyes, just like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Man, yeah, that's your house. How do you guys clean that up?
It's
on a Sunday?
So much stuff. We basically just have to, we have a big fire hose. We open both doors on both ends of the house, put the hose in one end, and just flush the house.
Yeah, you'd have
to. And then get the squeegee out.
After what I've heard, there's no other way. So
there's no other way. No.
Good job. Brian Dunaway, give us yours.
Creed, like chasing chickens in an old man's backyard. After you ask him to train you to box. At best, you just proved yourself. At worst, you misunderstood the assignment. Hashtag no cocks, only chickens.
That's such a non sequitur with the no cocks. I had an argument with my daughter yesterday about how all chickens, all roosters are chickens, but all chickens aren't roosters.
Why?
Right. Well, what do you call? Oh, I guess it's a hen.
Because roosters are male. Yeah, it's roosters and hens.
So chicken, roosters and hens are chickens.
Chicken encompasses everything. Right.
This is the problem. The argument, the two people, me and my daughter, forgot that hen was a thing. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. I feel dumb now. Now we throw it over to Brian Ibbot.
That was a waste of 2 hours.
Yep.
Creed, Randy, come here and cut my headphones off so I can take a shit.
Grip.
We're about to do a show. Is it too tight?
I just got to shit. I want to wipe my ass. All right, nice job. Let's move over to the alternate titles. This just handed to me. This was almost called Rocky's Restaurant Has No One In It. Or If Rocky's Couch Come A-Rockin', Don't Come A-Knockin'.
Ooh, boy. That was, did you notice that they had 3 cartons of ice cream out there?
That's I did notice that. What was that about? Was that for his eye?
I don't know. I don't know. I was trying to add spoons in it. Spooning it on his eye. I don't know.
Because he was beat up from that first fight. And I think that maybe was it. I don't know. Who knows? Because people put steaks on their face.
You know what boxers do at the big fight? Eat a cotton ice cream.
Yeah. You think you had to shit today. Wait till you eat all this ice cream. Right. filmsack@gmail.com is where people send email addresses, and today is our lucky day because we got one here from Dustin who says Pitch Black is on Netflix and you guys need to sack this one real bad. It is the epitome of 2000s action movie cliches. The lead actress has a hard time covering up her Australian accent as well. It's awesome. Go see it. I noticed this. Pitch Black is being pitched to me on Netflix every time I log in.
It's fantastic.
It's movie. In the top 10 thing right now. I think it's like people are into it.
We're talking about the original Riddick movie, right?
Right, right. The prequel, page, right? The Riddick prequel, right?
Yeah. And when I saw it after all the hype, I thought it was bad. I didn't like it.
I saw it before any of the hype, and I loved it because it was such a surprise to be watching this movie, and then suddenly this guy shows up, and he's so badass. I hadn't really seen a Vin Diesel before this, and I was like, oh, what the crap?
So, it blew my mind. So what you're saying is what I'm saying, which is it deserves this. I think it does deserve a film sack look at it. I agree.
It definitely feels different now than it did in 2000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a David Toohey movie, and we watched those.
Who's Toohey? Yeah. I don't know who that is. What did he do?
He
did Pitch Black.
He wrote, directed, produced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has something to do with Air Force One. He wrote The Fugitive, first one.
Oh. Wow, that's weird.
He wrote G.I. Jane, which we have not sacked, but we will.
Yeah, speaking of, well, we'll talk about it in a minute. We got a thing coming up. All right, let's do these texts also. We got Matt in Salt Lake City here. He says at 801-471-0462 is the number he used. Says, hey, Sackers, go to IMDb and look up the movie Masterminds. This stars a very young Patrick Stewart with a mustache. The movie poster is amazing. It has a guy on a skateboard rolling atop his giant bald head. It's hilarious. Matt in Salt Lake City. He's not even saying watch Masterminds. Comedy. He's just saying go look at the poster.
Yeah, it's a good comedy. This has been popped up on my list as well. I've seen it before.
This is news to me. Is it good?
Zach Galifianakis, Owen Wilson, Kristen Wiig, you know.
Oh, wait. But where's Patrick Stewart? This must be old.
Yeah, no. You're talking about different masterminds.
What's he talking about? Then?
Okay.
1997.
Oh, even better.
Okay, hold on. There it is. There's Picard. Oh, yeah. There's the guy skating on Picard's head.
Oh, this guy. Oh, I do remember this poster as well.
I've not seen this either masterminds. Neither of these things are familiar to me, so I don't know. I'd watch this. I mean, look at Patrick Stewart with a mustache. You know,
anytime you look up a movie and it says people who liked Masterminds also liked Encino Man and Detective Pikachu, I am in.
Yeah.
Shine me up.
Let's see. Such great
pedigree. Who else is in this? Bradley Whitford's in this? Jeez Louise. I love him. All right. Well, we'll consider it. Consider it being considered. Here is another one from an anonymous texter who says, in relation to the drug question from FilmSack, cops don't taste drugs. We have what are called presumptive tests. You put some of the product in a tube with chemicals, and it tells you if it's positive or test positive for the suspected drug. If it is, or whatever happens with it, it's then sent to a crime lab for a certified test. Yeah, of course, it's never going to be people.
Makes more sense.
I've seen enough, you know, like cops and different shows that's how it typically goes down. That's why it always cracks me up in movies. It's like,
They want us to think it's like Old West Sheriff who found a pile of white dust and tastes, or see if it's real gold and he bites the coin. Like, come on.
Right.
We're past all that. Very well done, everybody. Thank you for sending those in. Again, the text come to 801-471-0462, filmsack@gmail.com for all other communication. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do it at that same number, and we'd love it if you did. I'd like to welcome some brand new patrons to the party here today. My Garage Bay joined us this week. Yeah.
Welcome.
Great name. Also, Garage Bay. Ernie and Badger. Oh, Badger's here. After all that Badger talk.
Ernie Badger.
And Adam Sachs. All four of them are heroes. And they joined us because they know the kind of value they get out of FilmSack, so much so that they're willing to cough up a couple of bucks our direction. If you like a show with no commercials or ads, which is kind of the same thing, so I don't know why I always say commercials or ads. Anyway, if you like that, or you like pre-show content every week, or how about monthly specials from the hosts, or art-related or movie-related art in the mail from me, or other benefits that you can read about, well, then what's your holdup? Get over there and check it out. Patreon.com/FilmSack and do it today. Next week, we are watching Nope.
Yep. Get out. Us? Nope.
Everyone here has seen Nope but me, I think.
No, me neither.
Oh, good. No, two of us.
No, for me.
The reason we're sacking this brand new movie is because it's being pushed on us on Amazon Prime, and we want to all watch it, so we may as well sack it.
Yeah. I swear my Echo wakes me up at night just to say, boop, a reminder, you should watch Nope on Amazon Prime. So we should watch Nope, and we will, and I'm very much looking forward to it. like everything that came before this from what's his beak? Can't think of his name.
Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele. And this should be great. My son-in-law's been yelling at me to watch it, so finally we'll get it under our wing. That'll be next week here on FilmSack. Speaking of that, FilmSack.com is our website, so go there. Don't forget to support us at Patreon.com/FilmSack, FilmSack at gmail.com, and you can find us on Twitter while it lasts at FilmSack. Leave us reviews where you, whenever you get a second on, you know, Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you get your shows, because that helps us gain followers. Okay.
I guess we won't be linking to the Patreon though on Twitter.
No, probably.
we better not do something like that.
Yeah, because you never know when they're about to ban that stuff.
Mm,
if any of you have a Substack, don't put it on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, it'll get marked as, what did they say, dangerous malware or something.
Hits keep coming from good old Elon.
Elon Musk and his beautiful treatment of an amazing service. Anyway, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Women, weak in legs.
We can see you next time.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Beat his ass.
Beat his ass. He's saying bit his ass.
Bit his ass.
Yeah, don't bite his ass.